T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
Next, I'd like to introduce...
Throw your hands in the air if you's a true player.
Big Booty is my kryptonite.
That boy's good.
Good and terrible.
You shut your mouth.
I think you two dudes are going to become real homies.
Where do we find these guys?
Oh, man, I hate those guys.
This is Sports Daily with Bruce Hertl and Jacob Albrecht on 97.5 and 1240 KFH.
All right, one of our favorite times of the week to catch up with Brian Haney, voice of the Kansas Jayhawks, brought to you by fine folks at the Mattress Hub. All right, Brian, coming off a loss against Dayton, which I think was surprising. Look, I'm not one of these people that worries about losing games early in the season. Coaches are still, tweaking here and there and working on personnel groupings and things of this nature. Duke loses last night after leading by 15 at Ohio State, which, by the way, was undervalued anyway. Gonzaga lost the same day that KU did. We've seen lots of examples already of this happening. Give us the Reader's Digest version of, was there anything that bothered you now in retrospect about the way the game finished up? Obviously, other than just losing the basketball game against Dayton.
Well, great to be on with you guys. And Bruce, I think that's the thing Bill Self would tell you is that they never should have been in a spot to give up,
right?
A Hail Mary type shot like that. And it's a game where there were self-inflicted wounds, like 9 of 20 from the free throw line, which I don't think is indicative of what this team will be. It's not like you have a Udoka on this team who's going to shoot 45% from the free throw line and pull you down. David McCormick, over the last 2 years, has been an 80% free throw shooter. He hasn't been that to start this year. You've got a lot of guards out there that should be good free throw shooters, but they left a lot of points on the board. Even if you just shoot 70% as a team, then, what is that, 6 more makes it, than what they had that day, and you're not in that spot late. But there were a lot of defensive breakdowns that show you that this club, to your point about not worrying about November losses because coaches are still working on things, this club isn't anywhere near where they're going to be with where Bill Self would like to take them defensively. You've got some guys that are good individual defenders, but the collective defense is not anywhere close to where it needs to be or where Self commands it be. And that's going to have to come in time. It's not going to be built overnight and not going to be there on display in the first month of the season. Coach Self said he's not worried about it because it's November. If it was February or late January, then he'd be concerned. He knows this club has a chance to still be great, but it's going to have to come with individual defensive improvement and collective defensive improvement. Obviously, the elephant in the room was the fact that David McCormick has not looked good for the bulk of these first 6 games. I thought he did finish on an upswing versus Iona, and his energy level down the stretch versus Dayton was very good. Had the big block on the last possession, but there were just little examples of some frustrating things that have caused David not get off to a good start. One of which was, blown bunny right at the rim in the second half in a key stretch when momentum was hanging in the balance. Another was a lane violation where he takes an Ochai Agbaji free throw away. And, of course, the offensive foul on KU's last offensive possession. Self has stuck with him despite being critical of him, publicly, because he knows that this Kansas team is not going to be as good as it could be if they just cut bait and abandoned ship on David McCormick, because he's seen it from him before. We saw it in the second half of last season when he was an all-conference caliber guy, what he can bring to this club. And while certainly there will be times when Kansas goes with just Jalen Wilson at the five and four guards around him, you're not going to play like that for 40 minutes. And they know their highest upside as a team and their highest upside at the individual five-man position is with David. And so, you know, it's been interesting to see Self's button pushing with McCormick, because he knows he can handle it. As Coach Self has said publicly, he's a 22-year-old man. He can handle me being a little bit critical. He's like, but at the same time, I've told our team, we're not going to get as far as we could go optimally unless David is as good as he can be. And so that's how we're going to ride it out a little bit. But that was concerning for sure at Boise State, because there were a series of little things that wound up being big things in the end. And I think the biggest thing most Kansas fans are clamoring for with McCormick is just dunk that dang ball, man. You get that close, just rip the rim off the backboard. Don't do these little cut shots when you could slam it home, because we've seen a lot of frustrating misses out of him, who actually led the Big 12 in field goal percentage a year ago. People forget that. So hopefully we'll see him, you know, bounce back in a big way. I do think Sunday was a good step in that direction.
Let's Jalen Wilson. From what we've seen in the limited time we've seen him, what will his role be on this team, and how critical is it for Kansas's ultimate success for him to be, you know, good again as he was last year? I know they have other guys now, but they still need Jalen Wilson to be a big part of it, don't they?
Oh, absolutely. You know, Self said last night on Hawk Talk, Jacob, it's Self was looking at his roster during the suspension of Wilson and watching what he had become throughout the preseason and thinking and projecting what he might look like once he came back. And he really felt like this is our second best player. Ochai's number one, Jalen's number two, and then after that you can debate. I've been on the show telling you I thought Jalen was third best, because I've kind of projected Remy into that number two slot based on what he did at Arizona State. But the coaches felt like Jalen throughout the preseason has been our number two guy. So what you saw statistically in Orlando, you know, 5 or 6 points a game, you know, not nearly the rebound contributions we saw a year ago when he was the Big 12's number two rebounder at 8 boards a game, that's not indicative of who he's going to be. What's his role in terms of minutes, in terms of rotation? You know, there may be a time, maybe as soon as Friday, where he's starting again. I don't know that that's going to be the case. But at some point it will be. At some point you'll take the training wheels off. And it's not that he forgot how to play basketball or anything in the four-game suspension. He's still practicing and working out. But Coach Self will tell you there's a difference between game shape and game speed. And even though they practice really hard and get up and down the floor, there's just certain things that you have to acclimate to. And he's as all-out, you know, pedal to the metal as anybody we have on the roster, which is why Self kept talking about how much more explosive Kansas would be once he got back. I think harnessing some of that and having that be under control all out is also part of his reacclimation. So I think that, you know, it's just a matter of time before you see the cream rise to the top and he start to emerge as one of our two or three best players. It just, you know, was kind of dipping your toe back in the water down there and not quite the, you know, the emergence he's had at the start of last season. Remember, he had the 23-point games back-to-back with Creighton and Kentucky. It's going to be a little bit before we see that. But I do think that's in there for him. And I think that, you know, he's a guy, you ask what his role is going to be. If we play 35 games this season, I bet there's 10 of them he leads us in scoring. I think he can absolutely resume being that type of guy.
All right, Brian, Baylor, Texas Tech, Iowa State, Oklahoma State, Oklahoma off to a 6-1 start. Huggins wins again last night, 6-1 at West Virginia. You guys, Texas, TCU, even at 5-1. Kansas State, very competitive against both Arkansas and Illinois, highly ranked teams at the time. We say it every single year, this thing is a buzzsaw squared, best league in the country.
Yeah, it may be. You know, when you look at top to bottom and you just listed off all the hot starts they're off to, I mean, top to bottom, you've got four teams, 40% of your league in the top 15 right now. And, you know, Iowa State had bottomed out a year ago. So to see under your coach Elsberger what they've done so fast to start his tenure in racing out for the hot start that they're off to and garnering the national attention that they have. I guess top 20 on them, not top 15. But point is, they're right there. And then you have teams like West Virginia that aren't ranked that you feel like have a great chance. Oklahoma State, too, Texas Tech as well. And so excited to see, you know, what that's going to look like once we get into league play and they start playing each other. Because at this point, while most have scheduled ambitiously, everybody's playing different competition on any right. given night. And it's really hard to get a true gauge. I mean, Texas Tech's a perfect example. They're 6-0, but this is their schedule. North Florida, Grambling State, Prairie View A&M, Incarnate Word, Nebraska, Omaha, Lamar. Okay, tell me where the signature win is in there.
They got Providence tonight, though, at least. So, they get Providence tonight.
My point is, they're not ranked because they haven't played anybody yet, but they soon could be.
Sure.
And we really don't know if they're a 6-0 paper tiger or if somehow they beat Tennessee and Gonzaga and Providence, if this is a top 15 team, too. They've all, you know, at some point on their non-conference schedule put some type signature game. I think for West Virginia, it's going to be UConn coming up here on the 8th, because realistically, they haven't played a ranked opponent yet either. Played Marquette, played Clemson, but nothing that really jumps off the page there. So I think we'll learn more as we start to see more even competition. And you know, for that matter, Kansas hasn't played anybody beyond Michigan State that really impresses you at this point just yet, but it's still to come in the non-conference scheduling, particularly when Kentucky comes calling in January. So don't think that I'm being hypocritical, because we thought our schedule would include top 10 Alabama in Orlando, and neither of those two teams got to the Sunday title game, as we quickly found out. So we thought by now we'd have that signature top 10 game, and it hasn't come to fruition. So no ranked teams on the Kansas schedule card just yet either, but there will be eventually. So I think, you know, certainly impressive start to your point, and it's exciting to wonder who can back this up and how many teams across the board can play at this high of a level. But it's hard beyond the top 10 teams to really put a finger on how good they're actually going to be. You know, I saw Jason King, our old buddy from the Kansas City Star and ESPN.com and Bleacher Report. He's a big Baylor guy, and he was down in Atlantis, and he watched them, you know, run through that bracket. They're off to a perfect start, as you mentioned, at 7-0. And he tweeted out the other day, they look like a legitimate national title contender again. And I get why he'd say that. They're now number 4 in the polls, but let's see how they do against number 6 Villanova next week before we say that, because they lost a ton. It's hard to imagine them being a national title contender, even as good as some of the kids are coming back. Let's see them go through the buzzsaw, as you termed it, Bruce, and then start to think that 2 or 3 weeks in, because right now it's just way too early, as you said, with teams that are really, really good teams losing on any given night, and then other clubs that haven't played as much of a schedule propped up a little more than they should be. Not that that's the case with Baylor. They played some good non-ranked opponents, including our mutual win, Michigan State. But I want to see what it looks like against Villanova. I want to see what it looks like against some of those type teams. And we'll get those chances here in the next couple of weeks.
Fair.
Brian, as we talk about all the teams around just the league and the country and these games, voice of the Jayhawks, how much interest do you have in a nice little regional Big 12 implication game like Wichita State-Oklahoma State tonight? Kind of a fun rivalry that's blossomed here between those two.
Yeah, that's to watch, no doubt. And you know, it went on my radar to set the DVR for that until you said it, just because I'll be honest with you guys, coming up for air after crossover season of football and basketball, we flew back and forth. We added it up. It was 5,000 miles going to Orlando twice last week, flying back home to talk football in between. 2 Hawk Talks a week, 2 press conferences a week, 3 to 4 games a week. It's been a blur. And so we had Hawk Talk last night. So tonight's actually my first night off in a while. Wasn't planning on watching basketball, but now, Jacob, you've floated that out there. Maybe I'll have to sit down and watch it. But certainly impressed with what Mike Boynton's done at Oklahoma State. And now the question is, you know, after they got slapped aggressively by the NCAA, in the wake of that, and now post the Cade Cunningham one season, you know, what does it look like for them? And certainly impressed with what the Shockers are building too. So that's going to be a lot of fun to see, you know, a little regional matchup, as you mentioned, but also a good litmus test for us Big 12 teams to see, you know, truly how good Oklahoma State's going to be.
All right. Finally, Brian, let's get a little love for KU football here in down the stretch. The way that they played, the way that Lance Leipold not only kept this program together but continued to make moves that energized it. I'm not trying to you know, blow sunshine up anyone's backside, but the fact of the matter here is this is a team that by results could have, you know, checked it in pretty early, gotten ready for spring football, and hey, we'll get back together next year and try to get it figured out. If you're looking in terms of wins and losses, you're not going to see what, you know, you want to see. But in terms of progress, it was all over the page. And the way that they played down the last 3-4 weeks of the season, I thought was a great testimony to where Lance Leipold can possibly take this program. I was really impressed with their competitiveness against West Virginia, for instance, last weekend.
Yeah, completely agree. And that was kind of the theme the last 3 weeks. And really, while we didn't play as well against K-State as we wanted to, and the one huge outlier was the road trip to Stillwater where they just didn't compete, sure, didn't have a first half first down. You take that out, and the second half of the season looks very competitive. And keep in mind, the Jason Bean quarterbacking experience, which was a bit of a roller coaster, that was still going on at the time of the Oklahoma State and Kansas State games when they switched to Jalen Daniels. Really see that level of competitiveness go up, and that's not meant to be a knock on Bean, but we think we found something really special in JD. And so to see what they were like those last 3 weeks, you know, the historic win for the first time ever in Austin, playing TCU even up with 60 seconds to go before they kick the game-winning field goal. And in that game, you know, holding a big lead early, halftime lead, seeing them storm back to put us down 2 scores, but to rally back and tie it, to show that moxie and that confidence to get up off the mat and keep swinging. That said a lot to me about the leadership on this team. And like I said, you know, were it not for a last-minute field goal, you might have had a chance at overtime in that one and had back-to-back conference road wins when you hadn't had a single conference road win in 13 years. I mean, Jacob was he was barely alive the last time we'd won. Just kidding, Jacob. The last time we'd won on the road at Big 12 play, it had been that
the
long.
Older I get, the less that offends me, by the way. You're good.
Yeah, that's right.
Right.
I hear you.
No, we appreciate youthful recommendations or references, I should say, when we're on the other side of 40 now. But anyways, my point is, like, they almost did something really historic and won back-to-back on the Big 12 road slate in Texas, no doubt. So that was super impressive. And then to see on senior night against a West Virginia team that had a ton to play for as they were going for bowl eligibility, Kansas, once again, is right there. And, you know, I threw a lot of roses Jalen Daniels' way. He also – it needs to be noted that he had 2 end zone interceptions, one pass of which he had a pretty open option he just didn't see. But if those fourth quarter end zone interceptions don't happen, who knows? Maybe Kansas gets a third win. And all the while, for the last 4 months when I've come on with you guys, I've referenced probably a dozen times, this is starting to look like, or we hope it will look like, 2002 under Mark Mangino. And they were 2-10 that year. Not a big spike in the win column, but you saw the gap of competitiveness really start to narrow in terms of the margin of defeat and how close you were playing some of these teams. And I would argue in this last month, it was even more competitive down the stretch than you saw in the early Mangino first season there. Now, the key is, in Mangino's second year, they catapulted all the way to the Tangerine Bowl, 6 wins, Bill Whittemore, all that. Can Kansas do that in year 2 under Leipold? Going to be tougher with 9 conference games instead of 8. Going to be tougher with the schedule in front of KU that includes a road trip to Houston next year. But clearly, more so than any other coach we've had since, 5th time's a charm, you saw more in that upward arrow, trending upward, here we go, here's the progress tangibly on the field, than we'd seen at any point. The first Mangino season, that has to have you excited as a Kansas fan. Now we'll just have to see what this first true recruit class looks like. Obviously, we've seen Coach get guys in the portal in the spring, but this is his first full class. So So we'll see. And it sounds like they're going to pull from all categories. High school seniors are first and foremost the biggest priority, but they will take a handful of JC kids as the scholarship numbers are now a little bit better towards that. And clearly from the portal, they're going to hit that hard too. So you'll see them attack it from three different areas. And I imagine here in the next couple of weeks, I'll come back on and we'll recap his first class and maybe not know as much about him yet as we will know later, but hopefully it'll be a sign that aspect of the Lance Leipold era is off and rolling as well, because every other aspect, from player development to scheme to the culture, the leader of young men he is just off the field. I mean, honestly, guys, I don't want to sound like I'm hyperbolizing it, but it's five stars in terms of internal approval and approval rating of people both in the building and around it. It's every bit what we hoped it would be. And I'll leave you with this. I haven't counted it this morning. I counted it yesterday. I think it was 22 FBS vacancies. My, oh, my, did Travis Goff do an amazing job when he decided to act swiftly and decisively and say, you know what, we could play it out with Coach Jones for the interim coach for the fall here. This isn't a great time to hire somebody in April. It's not ideal. You know, recruiting's hanging in the balance and all that. He did something then that I thought showed a lot of foresight, not knowing how many vacancies there would be, and I would argue there's been even more than what we would have projected. But you know, even the proudest of Kansas fans has to admit we would have been toward the back end of the pecking order, if not at the bottom of it, in choosing our coach had we waited to the end of this season. He went out and got his guy, and we got the right guy. So the timing was a brilliant move. The hire is looking more and more like it was brilliant as well. And in hindsight, we could not be happier where we sit today on December the 1st versus what our reality could have been should the interim experience not led to a full-time job for Coach Jones. And then you're looking on the outside trying to find the right fit when somebody like Lance Leipold's already been snatched up by a much bigger school.
Yeah, no question. Brian, safe travels this weekend. Go get one against St. John's. We appreciate your appearances here each and every week, courtesy of the Mattress Hub.
Yeah, check out my friends at themattresshub.com, Ryan Beatty and company, locally Wichita owned and operated. They're all over the region. And as I tell you, this time of year, they've got great holiday specials. So when you think about something for that special person in your life, make it a mutually beneficial gift. The mattress that'll benefit you both, bedroom accessories as well, all kinds of great holiday shopping specials right now at themattresshub.com. So check them out today. Always a pleasure, fellas. And, we'll try to get that dub against Mike Anderson's St. John's team, a familiar face from back in the Missouri-Kansas days. So that'll be fun on Friday night.
All right, we appreciate it. There he goes. Voice of the Jayhawks, Brian Haney. From one to another, Bob Hull on Wichita State's game tonight at Oklahoma State. Color voice of the Shockers, both on radio and television, will join us coming up as we break down that matchup here in just a moment. The KFH Hotline is brought to you by Twin Peaks. East at 21st and Rock, west at Ridge and Taft. Twin Peaks, eats, drinks, scenic views.
Your phone call is welcome. 869-1240. Sports Daily on 97.5 and 1240. KFH.
Sports Radio.
All right, let's talk some Shocker Hoops with Bob Hull, of course, radio color, TV analyst for Wichita State. As they head to Oklahoma State tonight, clearly a huge game for Wichita State, not only in the present, Bob, but something that probably helps them a lot down the road in March as well. But this one has got some metrics that are a little bit daunting for Wichita State, a Shocker team that tends to turn the ball over a little bit more than I'm sure Isaac Brown would like. Against a defensive team that clearly creates offense from their defense. They're one of the top defensive teams in the country, according to KenPom, and their defensive efficiency. Is this a tough one on paper going in, Bob?
Well, you hit the nail right on the head, Bruce. That's the key to the game, I think, is staying even with them on the board or possibly out-rebounding them. You got to keep them off their offensive boards because they really crash the boards. But I think turnovers, I think their handling their pressure is probably going to be the key tonight because they really get out in the passing lanes, even more than Missouri does. They're a long, athletic, quick team. They play about 10, 11 guys, so they're running guys in and out. So they're constantly fresh and coming at you. And they love to turn you over and then fast break off of that. And they love to make you take bad shots and then fast break off those long rebounds. So that's going to be the key is running offense, taking care of the ball, not turning them over. And then on the flip side of that, I think the Shockers think they can turn them over and try to turn those into some easy baskets.
That's what I was going to ask you, Bob. Has Oklahoma State played a team as good defensively as Wichita State? I don't think that they have. They lost to Oakland at home, which is a little curious. And they really, they beat NC State. I don't know how good a win that is, but their schedule hasn't been overwhelming at this point by any means. So, have they? On the flip side of it, have they played a team as good as Wichita State, especially defensively?
Yeah, I would say probably the closest would be Oakland's pretty good defensively. I watched that game on video the other night on ESPN Plus, and Oakland played more of a tight, sinking defense and kind of challenged them to shoot outside shots. And Oklahoma State couldn't hit their outside shots in that game. And Oakland even played a little 1-3-1 zone on them. Now, Oral Roberts has got a pretty good team. They lost their big kid, O'Banner, I think, but they got that Asemus kid back, and he went off in there. And it was overtime. Oklahoma State won it, but it had to go to overtime at the Mabee Center there in Tulsa to win that one. Asemus had about 29 or 30, something like that. But I think we'll present some challenge to them because we got a lot of quick athletes, and our guys do a good job of pressure.
Bob, this team is off to a nice 5-1 start. They've got a couple of decent wins with UNLV. At least their hometown, and then Mizzou on the road. But my thinking is that the best thing about this team is that they have a really high ceiling that they haven't even really started to approach. Is that a fair statement?
I was thinking the same thing myself when you started to ask your first question, is that this is an Oklahoma State team that's probably going to look a lot better in March than they're going to look tonight. Because they got some new pieces that they're trying to fit in. They've got a great shot blocker in Cisse that they got from Memphis, who gave us a lot of trouble last year. And they're trying to figure out what their substitution pattern is and who plays where and when. And they're figuring that all out right now. And once they figure that out and get more comfortable with each other, they could get pretty good in March. They did that last year. I think they won like 6 of their last 7 games last year and knocked off. They beat Baylor in the semifinals of the Big 12 last year.
Right. God.
So if you put on your coach's hat for a second here, Bob, if you know that they block shots like that, and we've seen a team with that kind of length and ability in Arizona, how do you attack it? Do you rely on the shooters who up to this point haven't shot up to their potential? Are Mo and maybe even Poto going to be able to get down there and get the offense going against that kind of size down low? Like, where do the Shockers need to go here if they want to find success offensively?
Well, I think all the above, Jacob. I think I was watching that Oakland game to see how they handled the shot blocking. And they used a lot of shot fakes inside. And they were really smart about shot faking and keeping the Cowboys off balance on when to leave the floor. And they scored inside quite a bit with their bigs. So I think we got to go into our bigs, but they got to be smart. Mo Udeze doesn't shoot over big guys very well. So he's going to have to use shot fakes and take his time and keep his feet quiet, not travel. And I think the same thing by Poto. He's going to have to use shot fakes or use that jump hook. And then I think they're going to have to drive and pass to each other, try to drive, create a double team, and then find the open man, or drive from the perimeter, find the upper team, and either dump it to the big or kick it over to the corner. And then Dexter and Tyson and the other guards are going to have to knock down some shots.
Mike Boynton, probably, correct me when I'm wrong, Bob. Does Mike Boynton do everything that they possibly can do to take Tyson Etienne out of this game and make the rest of the Wichita State roster beat him?
Yeah, that seems to be the formula that people are going to right now. It's just put a guy and just stick him on Tyson and don't help off and really try to make it hard for him to get shots and make him rush his shots. But he's getting a little bit smarter on using screens and being a little more patient. You saw in that Missouri game, he didn't put up a lot of shots in the first half. Most of his shots came in the second half after Dexter hit a three and some other guys hit some shots. Ricky Council hit a three. Joe Pleasant hit an outside shot, an 18-footer. So I think he was trying to get the other guys involved, and then the second half he kind of went off there late. So I think he's being more smart about that. And then the Shockers are also using the fact, I think Taylor Etheridge wrote a good article about it the other day, where they're using Tyson to draw two defenders and then finding the open man off of that. So they're using Tyson not as a decoy, but they're trying to take advantage of people overplaying him, because if that man can't help off, then it creates some problems for their team D.
Bob, last one for me. So offensively for this team, it's been a lot of Tyson. That's going to stay the same. Of the shooters, of the guards, who are you seeing the most promise for stepping into that secondary role offensively right now? I mean, we know that they like to run the offense through Mo. We know Tyson's going to get his shots. But who's the guy that the Shockers are going to need to lean on if Tyson's taken out of a game, or if a team's doing everything they can to take him out of a game?
Well, that's a good question. I hope that doesn't happen, but I tell you, I don't think it's any one guy, Jacob. I think it's by committee. I think Dexter, I don't think he's going to be a 16, 18-point guy, but he can be a 10-point guy, 12-point guy, and get to the free throw line, get his five boards, you know. I think Ricky Council, any night, he can score 12 or 14, you know, if he can get to the hoop and score better in transition, because he gets a lot of steals. You know, if he can score better in transition, he can get 10, 12, 14 points. I think Quay Grant on the right night can score 10, 12, 14 points. And then Porter, they can get a few more points out of him. He passed up some layups the other night in Columbia to kick it to the corner and to drop it off to the big. So I think he can get to the hoop and score. I think he can do that tonight against this pressure defense.
Bob, I know you like this team, but I'll ask you to put your coaching glasses on. Where does this team need to continue to get and to develop to realize its full potential, do you think?
I think they're just scratching the surface, Bruce.
Me too,
I think,
right.
Obviously, transition offense. They've been just horrible on three-on-ones and two-on-ones. They can definitely get better at those. And, you can get another 8-10 points just by scoring a decent percentage on your fast breaks. And then I think they need to be more consistent from the free throw line. They were horrible the other night at Missouri. They're scoring. They're down below 70% now. But at one time they were at 79% from the free throw line. But the other night we were 9 for 20. against Missouri, 9 for 20. So we got to be more consistent from the free throw line, and then we just got to get better at passing. You know, this team can get better at passing. They're just a little careless with their passes. They're averaging 15 turnovers a game. They need to get that down to 10 or 11. And you can do that by just throwing two-handed passes, faking before you pass. And the guy receiving the pass has got to cut harder. They got to throw the outside hand. You know, all those things you taught, you know, your kids' teams in junior high, you know.
Bobby, thank you very much. We appreciate it, especially on short notice. You're very gracious with your time. Best of luck tonight, and all my best to Cindy, okay?
Okay, thanks, Bruce. Happy to talk to you guys anytime.
All right, we appreciate it. There he goes, Bob Hall. So good with his time. I don't know about tonight, Jacob. I don't have a real feel for it.
I don't either.
I really don't.
I think it's going to be ugly, which that lends itself typically to the Shockers. So, you know, the way – I'll tell you what gives me hope. The way that they hung around and played Arizona late in that game gives me hope for this game, because Arizona is better than Oklahoma State. They do a lot of the same things, I think. And, you know, Oklahoma's numbers look good. NC State's pretty good. Oral Roberts, when healthy, is pretty good. But, you know, this will be as good a test as they've seen, too.
I got a feeling that both teams are really resilient, though. I think Oklahoma State has the same kind of toughness and resilience that Wichita State does. I don't know whether it cancels each other out. I don't know. It remains to be seen. But I just don't have much of a feel for this. I like their matchup at Missouri. I'm not sure I like the matchup as much tonight. Doesn't mean that I don't think that they'll win, but there's a reason they're a 6-point underdog. So
I agree. I would rather see the Shockers play good offensive teams right now than good defensive teams. I'll say that.
Yeah, I'm with you on that.
Because I think they can stop good offensive teams.
Yeah, that's a good way of putting it. No question about it. Well, it'll be big fodder on the show tomorrow. No question about that. On this day in sports history, OTD, courtesy of Superior Rents, coming up next. Sports Daily on a Wednesday with Al Brockton Hurdle, Chad Chambers producing. Back in a moment. The KFH Hotline is brought to you by Twin Peaks. East at 21st and Rock, west at Ridge and Taft. Twin Peaks, eats, drinks, scenic view. inappropriate song, by the way, to play after Bob Hull, who may be the most enthusiastic Rolling Stones fan that I know, just appeared on the show. We thank him for his time. Brian Haney as well, as we got to all things KU, pretty much took care of our business. I talked about K-State being sneaky, and we'll get more into this maybe on Friday. They've got, I'm not even sure who they're playing tomorrow, but someone that they'll probably drill will be at least 4-2. But Jacob, they gave Illinois and Arkansas pretty decent tests, at least decent tests.
They play Albany, and Albany's not good, and they're 17.5-point favorites. They should smoke them.
Yeah. So there you go. Now, that's for a conversation for another day, but I think K-State's probably a little sneaky at 82.
I mean, honestly, it's right a good now. Game for them to have after those type of games they played in before Wichita State, kind of a feel-good, work-through-some-things kind of a game.
Yeah, no question about it. Now, anyway, real interesting week for Wichita State as it relates to the basketball program and two games against teams in the Big 12. All right, let's get to it. OTD on this day in sports history, brought to you by our friends from Superior Rents, your equipment rental headquarters. It happened on this day in sports, December 1 in 1928, Jacob, and I didn't know this. Then National League president, and his name escapes me right now, proposed the DH, a 10th player to hit for the pitcher. It shot down when, ironically, the American League votes it down. That was in 1928. They were already thinking about a designated hitter. Happened on this day. 1954, the Yankees and the O's, that means the Orioles, complete the biggest deal in Major League Baseball history, affecting 17 players in a trade between the two teams. It included Don Larsen, Gene Woodling, Bob Turley. Don Larsen, obviously, 4 years later, would, or 2 years later, would, no, 4 years later, yeah, pitched the only perfect game in Major League history. But he was traded on this day as part of a 17-player deal between the Orioles and the Yankees. 1964, the Houston 45s, who had played their first three seasons in the major leagues with that name, became the Houston Astros. In 1967 on this day, Wilt Chamberlain scored 52 points in a Sixers win over Seattle. Now, Jacob, 52 would be notable in and of itself, but notable in this game, he missed a still NBA single game record of 22 free throws. 52 points, but he missed 22 free throws in the game.
Wow.
Only Wilt Chamberlain can do that. And of course, in 1997, lest we forget, I bet you PJ Carlissimo hasn't, Latrell Sprewell, Warriors guard, attacks the head coach, strangles him, ends up being suspended for 10 games. It happened on this day in 1997. OTD brought to you each and every day by our friends from Superior Rents, your equipment rental headquarters, 21st and Ridge, tools that work at Superior Rents. Did you watch any of the Duke-Ohio State game last night, or were you too busy?
Caught the ending. I kind of walked into the ending there. So, you know, I don't know what to make of it. Purdue looks really good, but
Purdue does look good.
It doesn't appear to be the type of season where I think we're going to have a little adversity at the top pretty much all year long.
You know something? Purdue has never been ranked number one in the country.
They're going
to
be next year.
Which is odd to me. You go back to Rick Mount. You go back to they've had, you know,
Katie
Robinson. They've had some real dudes at Purdue, and they've never been ranked number one. But if they were able to probably win out this week, more than likely they would become the number one team in the country in the next poll for what's that for whatever that's worth in the month of December. Closing thoughts, get you ready for the rest of the day here on your sports station coming up in just a moment. Sports Daily on a Wednesday.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.